Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So the question is here, for 75 years, let's say they did capture something totally unknown. It's broken up so badly they can't piece enough of it together to figure out what's going on. But I also liken it to if it was something way advanced, extraterrestrial technology, it's like taking my iPhone back to somebody in 1921 and say, here it is, figure it out.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and so, you know, what are they going to do with it? They don't have the anything to do with it. I mean, there's no, like, you know, radio signal or any kind of signals that they can use. There's no Wi-Fi. There's no internet. What are they going to do with this thing that's a brick? What does it do? It doesn't, you know, the battery's gone dead. It doesn't light up. I don't know what it does. So, yeah, it's very much like that, Gene. It's the fact that, you know, you could get parts and pieces of that, and you're trying to figure out, well, what's the purpose and the function of it, and you just have no way of figuring that out. That's the challenge that even that our scientists have at over at, like, MISIC that does Missile and Space Intelligence Center, and MISIC here has to get, like, things like Scuds and a whole bunch of other kinds of, like, missiles brought over to it, and it tears it apart, tries to figure out why it is what it is, you know? But obviously, you would have found these materials that allegedly Marcel said that he saw, where, you know, it crumpled in the hand and it would open up. Well, it might, you know, I beat this other kind of piece. It was lightweight, and I hammered it, and it wouldn't bend, and I couldn't burn it, you know, and you hear those kind of, like, things. Well, you know, then now you're talking about 1960s, where you have metals that are being now pushed out to research scientists, and you get things like nitinol, which is nickel titanium alloy, and an NOL on nitinol is Navy Ordnance Lab that comes up with that kind of, like, this shaped memory alloy, or it might be ferromagnetic shaped memory alloy, where it'll return to its shape. Now we have among our glasses, you know, we put our glasses on, we got that metal that bends and everything else, right? So it's been used, and it's been pushed out, and it's now available for everybody to use it. And who knows? It could have come from Roswell, or it could have come from scientists that we just don't know and can't trace. But we don't know.
You know, it almost brings back the Corso book, Day After Roswell, except that book, the descriptions were couched in language that was not precise. No, it wasn't.
Yeah.
Night vision goggles or printed circuit boards or things like that, or even fiber optic cable. A lot of these things have origins that predate Roswell. But yeah, it could have, in a sense, been him expressing something that was real, but not giving out the exact facts, just kind of talking around the subject.
Right. When you take a look at something like the physics involved with the Tic Tac dropping from 20,000 stopping above sea level, you know, within 0.78 of a second, we did the calculations on that. You find out that it has the equivalent of the Hoover Dam in terms of its kinetic energy output. You find out that it's moving at Mach, if it really did that, it was of Mach 50 and above. And, oh, by the way, it was, you know, it didn't break any sound barriers. It's not aerodynamically sound. It has no visible means of propulsion on it. It's an odd shape to be moving through the atmosphere, and it didn't really heat up. And if we drop something like an F-18 from that height at that speed, I mean, it would disintegrate. We'd have nothing but parts and pieces, and certainly anything that was on the inside of it would have been a puddle on the bottom of the floor. So how does it maneuver? What does it do? How does it do these things in our atmosphere and not show those same kinds of effects that we know of, that we develop, and it can do? And yet, you go back through UFO history, and you find out that the objects are doing the same kind of maneuvers back in the 50s. Well, who in the heck had that kind of technology? You know, what part of this planet do you really believe, when we're still doing vacuum tubes and things, and we didn't have computers, that you can do something like that with these objects that were reported back then? So it's clearly a situation where you're dealing with something that's way more advanced than us, that is on the planet. But going back to what the military does, they have to figure out, well, how do I discriminate between the drones and that kind of technology? And then what do I do if I do see it? And it does those kind of speeds. And I can't shoot at it. I can't get it out of the air. What are you going to do about it?
But remember, we have no evidence that UFOs are spaceships.
Well, yeah, exactly. And you're going to be hard-pressed to be able to get it.
Unless Roswell represents that technology. But then again, will there be a connection, or is that so deeply undercover that they can never say, hey, well, we already have the craft. It's been sitting here for 75 years.
Yeah, and take a look at it like this. I've got friends who got very classified stuff, and some of them open up and talk, and they claim that the crashes are legit, that there were actually claims of that thing going on and reengineering was going. Look at the Wilson-Davis memo, and you see that kind of talk being discussed. And so, consequently, I think that we've got and we've had a long time either these parts and pieces, and we're not letting on because it's highly classified, and they're still trying to probably figure it out, the parts and pieces and what they're going to do with it and how they can utilize it. And it's going to go on like that. And you're not going to get the government to talk about something, or the military especially, to announce the fact that it's got, you know, crap sitting over there in a base or anything like that. You're not going to get them to admit that.
So you mentioned the Wilson document. So Eric Davis was part of the National Institute of Discovery Science, and he was a contractor for OSAP, which later became known as ATIP. And it's come out, especially through the book by George Knapp and James Lukacsky and Colin Keller, that there was a lot of interest in Skinwalker. And so I understand you shy away from Bigfoot and other strangeness, but these same, there's a lot of overlap in interest in this group of people. So what do you make of that? And how seriously should we take these stories?
That's a good question also, because I think that ultimately we should document the evidence and see how the evidence pans out. I know that Travis Taylor, that I talk with, has been trying to do that along with other people that he gets and brings in. And they've got that documented in their show where they try to put out equipment. Sometimes the equipment will work. Sometimes it largely doesn't work. There's some sort of like measurable radiation of some sort that they pick up. It's, you know, actually affected a number of them. So there is something relatively odd about that particular area that is allowing it to have these multiple kinds of things happening that we can explain. Does it mean that they all have one simple explanation? No, it doesn't. You know, for example, let me clarify to you that if it is some sort of a hypothetical hyperspace portal, that's a perfect doorway for them to go through the objects that are coming in and going out that maybe can use to do that. Does that mean that you look at the UFO that's reported there as being the same phenomena as the animal mutilation case or the wolf that was, you know, dire wolf that was seen and stuff like that? No. Could it be the fact that there is some sort of a play between, you know, multiple universes? Is this like a doorway into another universe? Again, we don't have the evidence, and the evidence has to be collected through investigations and in order to make those compelling kind of statements that, you know, this is exactly what it is. We don't know what it is. It's an unknown mystery that still has a lot of, like, need for information, data, and study.
Do you have a particular take, since you've kind of gone into it, of so-called portal or window areas, parts of the world where things just happen and things wink in and out of our reality?
Well, I mean, we already have cases like, you know, the Alaska case in the 1976 time frame? Like the JAL craft. That was like the size of an aircraft carrier that popped up out of nowhere. I mean, it was like, you know, and suddenly it was not even on the radar, and the next thing you know is that two radar facilities that are actually tracking it. So, I mean, okay, well, it was not there, and then it's there. And then you have other cases where these objects will be seen by a passengers on board a plane or a pilot or something like that, where it just disappears.
We have to disappear for a second.
Okay.
Or more than a second. With Rich, Gene, and Kurt, you're in the Paracast.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First game Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperTea.com.
This is how we do every day. We keep grinding. And if you want to come and text us,
if you love them enough to turn off your music and pretend like their music is your music.
Ah, this is Mommy's jam.
Then surely you'll check NHTSA.gov/the right seat to make sure they're in the right car seat.
Let's play it again.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Hi, my name is Richard Dolan. You're listening to the Paracast.
So we're talking here about the phenomenon of an object winking in and out. And you wonder, are they popping into our reality? Are they moving so fast that now you see it, now you don't? Are they projected images of some sort that are there for our benefit?
So there's multiple ways you can look at multiple hypotheses. And the problem we have with this is everybody can dream up another hypothesis, but until you test and you start to eliminate some of these hypotheses, they're just going to keep expanding and expanding and expanding, and we're never going to get any answers. So we need to get to a point where we get at a hypothesis and we actually can work through it and see if we can do something with it and try to eliminate these. The situation you have with the potential idea of a portal or a doorway or something like that, you could say, well, maybe there's something at the Skinwalker Ranch that's allowing, but there seems to be more cases of UFOs around the globe than you see going into the Skinwalker Ranch. Does that mean that there's multiple portals? Where are those other mysterious places on the planet? We don't have that. Okay, well, then you have objects that are going in and out of water. And you could argue and say, well, maybe there's a base underneath the water. Okay, and maybe they're using, since three-fourths of the planet is water, that we should be calling it the planet water instead of the planet Earth. You know, maybe that's what they're doing. But then, you know, with the variation of objects that you see over the entire history of reporting, you find out, well, they must have one hell of a production facility down there because they can pull out many, many different kinds of models. And where are they getting all these kind of strange materials to be able to develop these, like, craft that can do these incredible things? So they're not all coming from maybe the water. We don't see them all popping out of the water all the time. So where do you say that they're coming? Maybe it's multiple hypotheses that are in play. Maybe it is multiple origins. Maybe we are dealing with a time phenomena, and some of those are time machines. Maybe we're dealing with some of them that are actually bases underneath water and using that. Maybe we're dealing with some that's interdimensional, popping in and popping out. We just have no way of knowing, again, until we do the investigations and come up with a way to figure that out.
And that raises the bigger question. Can we figure it out unless there's some act on their part to make it possible for us to discover that evidence? That's, of course, absent Roswell, assuming that that might be the evidence.
Correct. So we might be at this for a long, long time. But I think that what's going to happen is, as technology continues to advance more and more on this, and we're starting to incorporate things like, you know, artificial intelligence and quantum computing and a whole host of other kinds of things against these kind of tools and sensors that we've got, you know, satellites that we've got above us and they're going overhead that could be trained in on. Until we actually collectively pull all that stuff together, we might actually then start to realize we can learn from this phenomena and get closer to getting some sort of an answer about it than not having that happen and where we just drag our feet for the next, 60 or 70 or 100 years or whatever. And if you're dealing with a phenomena and it's, you know, that has some sort of characteristics that are 1,000 years ahead of us, we may never understand it until about 1,000 years out, because we just don't have the understanding of that kind of capability.
I wanted to ask you, the SCU was formed around a UFO report, and now the organization's better known. Are you getting reports now? Are people seeking you out?
Yeah, like, I don't know if you're probably not aware of it, but there's a rubber duck. They call it the rubber duck incident because the object looked like a rubber duck. And this was a case with the Homeland Security. Again, another, in this case, it was not a turboprop aircraft. It was a reconnaissance aircraft. And it was down near the Arizona-Mexico border, if you would. It got thermal images of an object for about 40 minutes that was kind of rather odd. So we've done an analysis of that video, and we've been looking at that, and we're right now in the process of finalizing our peer review, and we'll be publishing that probably in the next maybe month, I guess, from now on. We're also doing a nuclear intention study where we are looking, by the way, and Kurt, you'll be interested, we are looking at old cases as well. I mean, we've gone into databases. We're trying to find out where the objects were around nuclear production sites, storage sites, detonation sites, nuclear whatever, you know. And so we are looking at those cases to see if we can deduce if anything about their intention. Good example would be that if you see peaks at a specific month at a specific facility, can you then deduce that there might have been something going on at that facility that they would have been interested in and that would have brought them there? So we're trying to see if we could do that. We have a whole team of people doing that. We're also doing a study right now on also the electromagnetic effects, as well as the atmospheric effects that you see with UFOs. We're also doing a USO study to see if we can characterize where the prevalence of the objects are that are seen in water. We're also doing a study on sound in the context of these things are being reported as being silent, but there are a few cases out there where people hear humming noises or electric noises, and we're looking at that, and maybe it's a situation that it's the noise or the sound could be at above hearing levels or below hearing levels. And so can you look at that part of that and find out that there actually is some sort of a noise when these things go away? And then what tools would you use to collect that and study that?
And I've seen it. Is the average person able to access your SU newsletter?
Yeah, we publish it up on our – we have a Facebook page. We've got a Twitter page. We've got LinkedIn page. We've got all the social media covered. We also put it up on our website, explorescu.org.
And this rubber duck video, can you tell me, did you use your existing members? I mean, are you reaching out to new people and disciplines? How are you processing something like that?
Yeah, well, now that we've got more members to choose from than just the original five of us, in fact, two of them are actually in the emeritus stage and they're kind of like they've got, in the background and not doing as much for us. But we have like many members that are actually, video analysts and various other kinds of things that are actually looking at these cases. So we have a whole team of people that looked at the rubber duck video. And so that's kind of like where we're going now. We have all these different teams of different people with different disciplines coming together to having a look at this stuff.
All right. And so as far as the mission of the group, are you recruiting?
Yeah, well, we are recruiting by all means. We'd certainly like more scientists to be able to get engaged. I'm not talking about just scientists, but I mean serious researchers. We have various levels of membership. Anybody could be a part of us in terms of being what we call a community access member. We typically just, let you in and we have conversations and things like that. But we have what we call contributing members, where they're more contributing to the study and doing the analysis and doing these kinds of studies.
Let's break here and talk more about the makeup of SCU on the other side with Gene and Kurt and Richard in the Paracast.
Listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
USA Radio News with Kenneth Burns.
Firefighters in Philadelphia mourning the loss of one of their own. Deputy Fire Commissioner Craig Murphy says the fallen firefighter is 51-year-old Sylvester Williamson, a 27-year veteran of the department.
This was just a catastrophic accident that really hurt our department, and I know this member well, and hurt the fire service as a whole.
The blaze broke out early Saturday morning at a three-story building that housed a pizza shop and apartments. The building collapsed shortly after the fire was put out. Four firefighters in total and an inspector with the city's Department of Licenses and Inspections were trapped at the time of the collapse. One firefighter remains hospitalized. Williamson was pronounced dead at the scene. He leaves behind a mother and his son. This is USA Radio News. The Supreme Court in Iowa ruled Friday that abortion is not a guaranteed right under that state's constitution, reversing a ruling the court made just 4 years ago. The decision stemmed from a lawsuit filed by abortion providers who challenged a 2020 law requiring a 24-hour waiting period before a woman could get an abortion. The court ruling comes as there is speculation that the U.S. Supreme Court will overturn the Roe v. Wade decision as soon as this coming week. The youngest among us could get their COVID-19 vaccines as soon as next week. The CDC gave their approval for the Moderna and Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine for children as young as 6 months old. That makes at least 18 million children eligible for the inoculations. The CDC approval on Saturday followed the sign-off from the FDA that occurred on Friday. Wall Street ended Friday with its worst week since the COVID crash in 2020. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Americans have the most colorful language in the world, and that vibrant language is our basis for thinking in big ways, new ways, efficient ways, and better ways. Americans have freedom of speech. The pairing of our colorful language and freedom of speech has made us the people and the nation that we are today. Imagine what it would be like not having the freedom to speak our minds, communicate our thoughts and ideas, and hear those from others. Americans have a passion for and yearn for the truth. There are those who want to destroy our freedom and right to hear the truth. The truth is under attack. GCN is under attack. I'm asking our fellow broadcasters and you to rise up and help us defend our right to free speech. Would you like to join us? Please consider visiting SaveGCN.com. Please help us bring you the truth 24 hours per day. I'm Vincent Finelli.
Hi, this is James Fox. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Okay, Rich, you were describing the makeup of the SCU.
Yeah. Yeah, we have basically community access members or people who are interested in what we're doing and want to be part of the coalition and supporting us, you know, to do what we're doing. You know, they share the same desire for scientific study. They share the same interest as we do. And so, you know, they can do that. And then we also have a situation where you have people that want to do more serious research. And these are the ones that are typically like with more like your advanced degrees. And we're working them into projects. So we have various projects that we've got assigned and we're looking into. And then we're, you know, again, putting in the peer review process. Some people are helping out in peer reviews. Some people are helping out in doing a lot of different other kinds of things for us. We just had a conference. I had a lot of people that were helping me out with the conference, trying to keep the public informed, letting them know what we've got going on there, as well as getting other scientists. That's pretty much what we're doing. And so if you want to be just a member and listen to conversations and interact on maybe like a Facebook site, you can do that, but you can get more serious. Hopefully that helps, Kurt. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, there's a lot of things happening now. So tell us a little bit more about the conference. You told us you had some government people attend. So I understand you had a witness as your keynote speaker. So what information did he share, and who was this?
Well, we actually had our keynote speaker was the former Lieutenant Ryan Graves. And Ryan was the squadron commander of the... If you saw the videos, there were like these videos released. There was one that was called the Nimitz, or the Nimitz case was the FLIR one. You also heard another one referred to as being the Go Fast, and another one being the Gimbal. Two of those, the Gimbal and the Go Fast, were part of the 2014 to 2015 time period where these pilots were off the East Coast of the United States, and they were doing exercises along in there. And when they do these military exercises, a lot of the pilots were saying that they were reporting with their new equipment that they've got aboard their aircraft. And it's more advanced than the that they had the AtFLIR back in the 2004 time period. They've advanced, and every time they've used these exercises, they have these things. Well, suddenly they start seeing more of these things because of the technology change that they've got on board their systems. So consequently, that's what leads them to seeing it, which then says, well, let's go after it and see what we can find out. So a lot of the pilots were actually doing that, and almost every day along the eastern seaboard, they saw these objects for almost two years. And that's disconcerting. It's like they would go back and say, well, what are we going to do with this? You know, and they eventually got to the point where they could report it to, like, you know, the ATIP organization, and then they were able to do something with it. But ultimately, they did capture some of that video evidence and pass that up. There is now some recent photographs you saw in the congressional hearing where they showed even a video clip, and then they had still frame of it, but something that looked like a circular sphere with a cube on the inside of it. And they would see multiple of these objects that would be hanging around 36,000 feet altitude. And they'd be like, well, what the heck is this? You know, what is it up there? And it's like hanging still in the air, and then maybe it moves and takes off. And then if you listen to them with the gimbal thing, you heard him say, like, the one pilot says, well, there's a whole fleet of them. You know, there's almost 30 of these things on the ASA. But just because they focused on the one gimbal object, that was not the full number of these things that were moving through the sky. So they saw quite a few of these things. And again, not knowing where they're coming from, what they are, whose they are, and why they're performing these strange kinds of maneuvers in the skies are misunderstood. So Ryan was able to tell us about that whole event. Ryan is also now with the AIAA, which is the American Aeronautics and Astronautics Association, I guess, if you would, that basically is now engaged in studying this, and they've got what they call a community of interest for UAPs, and Ryan is now in charge of that and chair of that committee or that group, and we're connected into that. We presented, had members present at their meeting recently. So we're actually now engaging the AIAA, which is really exciting, and we're thrilled about that. And he spoke on that. We also had Dr. Hakan Kayal from Germany, University of Würzburg, Germany, and he talked about the fact that his, you know, university over in Würzburg has dedicated money and time and invested into study of UAPs. So that's encouraging from a college standpoint. We had also Dr. Alexander Wendt, who got on in Ohio State University, and he talked about where in his college career, what he's talking about and doing with his study. But he also got into a kind of a different perspective on whether or not science should be investigating UFOs, which is kind of interesting. We had a different perspective in the context. We had panels. We had a national security panel, and where we talked about national security and science. That was intriguing. We had Gary Nolan and others, Josh Pearson, myself, and we were all talking about the national security implications of that. We had a panel talking about our SU projects. We had a panel talking about academia and how do we deal with getting more of this into college space. We had John Alexander was there talking about his history of the subject. Dr. Ted Peters was there talking about the religious aspects of this phenomena in terms of how do we go forward with that. There were a whole host of others that I could go on about, and it was just a great, fabulous conference. And it was, nothing but kudos and a high esteemed, you know, level of satisfaction, I guess, if you would, and respect for what we did.
Are videos available of this conference?
We have them right now for the next 3 months available to people who signed up. And then by the end of the year, we're going to be putting them on YouTube, our YouTube channel. So everybody will have access to them probably about the December time frame.
And this is something you have to pay for or what?
No, not on YouTube. You know, obviously the people who paid for the conference and stuff like that are getting to see them until September. And they can watch them as many times as they want. We also had the UAPX team talk about what their evidence was from the tear in the sky. and what they're and shared some of the videos and photos of that as well.
This sounds like so different from the typical UFO conference where it's abductions and crystal energy and implants. You know, this is real serious material that interests scientists, and I guess that's why the military people were drawn, you know, to see this approach, because you're really looking at things that can be measured and analyzed, and, you know, it's an approach that's, you know, it's scientific, part of your name, so, you know, job well done there.
Thank you. I mean, you know, and we're pleased by the fact that we can get all these. I mean, the most of these people were PhDs, right? I mean, it was just, you know, almost all of them. And that's the way it was even in our past conferences and stuff that we've had were largely PhDs. And we're trying to get them to open up and feel comfortable about talking and trying to get them, you know, have them some safe space. And that's what we achieved. These presentations you hear are absolutely incredible. I mean, just they're a whole different other level than what you're talking about, like you know, at the various UFO cons or other kinds of events. You're talking about, you know, scientists that are getting out and talking about the fact that they've identified down to the quantum level this or that. It's pretty remarkable, you know, Kurt. It's just really a whole... I wish Hynek could have been here to hear this. You know, that's where I went. He would have been proud of us.
In our after the Paracast show, I hope one of the things we might want to do is talk about, I think that would be, you know, the good and the bad. That might be a good thing to explore there.
And what this means, of course, is that Rich Hoffman will be back on After the Paracast, which is available strictly for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. For more information on how to sign up, check theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. We're going to have that coming up shortly, but right now we have one more segment left with Gene, Rich, and Kurt in the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
No matter if supply lines are down, product deliveries are slow, and that most everything costs more these days, you still have neck and shoulder pain, right? Good news. Sunny Bay has new products that target neck and shoulder pain. Products that are in stock now, ready to ship anywhere now. Like our extra long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs. You can heat them in a microwave oven, and they come in a variety of colors and patterns. And for stress relief, get our lavender scented hands-free neck wraps. Or maybe you need one of our smaller lower back wraps. Great for seniors. Again, there's no shipping delays from Sunny Bay. Find our new products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Just search for Sunny Bay neck wraps. All our products are great for men or women, are reusable, and easy to clean. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay neck wraps. Order now because stock is high and shipping is fast from Sunny Bay.
Now with order.
orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses. Your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
This is Robert Hastings, author of UFOs and Nukes, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
We continue here with Rich Hoffman and Gene Steinberg and Kurt Collins, our special guest co-host. Fast question, Rich. We haven't mentioned the A word yet. We mentioned the R word, Roswell. The A word, abduction. Do you have any take on it?
It's not part of what SCU looks at. Let me clarify that. We're not composed of medical doctors, psychologists, and a whole bunch of other people that you would need to be able to deal with in terms of understanding what happens in that. There are other organizations like FREE and some other organizations that are looking into that. You know, back when you asked me before, like when I got started in this whole thing, it's like suddenly there was Bigfoot, ghosts, and everything else, right? No way that I'm going to be a master of everything, you know, and so there's going to be other people who have expertise in different fields. We encourage the fact that alien abductions and that kind of an event be looked at scientifically and try to figure out how you can make it a very disciplined approach according to scientific methods and the way your methodologies and the discipline you'd expect it to be. And we would hope that they could do that, and that hasn't. You know, it's sad. I thought that John Mack was trying to get there and things might have been able to be improved. But until you get through all that hurdles and can figure out that, you know, and how do you discriminate between somebody who's got a real disease on their arm and maybe a lump versus what they're claiming to be an implant? When I was the director of investigations for Alabama and Mississippi, I would get people coming at me all the time with these kind of cases, you know? And again, I just thought through telling you that my research is into UFOs. And I'd be going like, well, I mean, I know other people that could probably help you out, but that big, huge golf ball size bump on your arm that you're claiming is probably an implant doesn't match with the implants where you can't hardly see them at all and they're not detectable that everybody's claiming is existing. And, you know, you ask them and say, well, did you get that medically looked at? And they're saying, well, no. Well, you might want to do that. It might be something really serious, right? And then there's the whole part of the problem with that is that, you know, it's not like you're sitting on a bundle of funds to pay the doctor to have them go look at this bump on their arm. Or go to a psychologist to be able to evaluate whether you actually are schizophrenic or not, or whether you're, you know, something else. And so that's a huge hurdle for any kind of study that has yet to be, like, manifest, to make it a very disciplined approach. You know, I appreciate people have had these experiences and claim that they did. It's just not something that typically the mainstream scientists can go after because, again, it's largely anecdotal unless that there's some sort of an evidence that helps to support the discovery of what that is.
I sometimes think that the abduction experience is masking some kind of traumatic experience the experiencer or the witness has had, but they're bringing it to us in terms of UFOs because they can't face what really happened.
That's probably one hypothesis. I could give you another one. My wife went to a course led by a guy who was doing a thing called holotropic breathing. And if you do holotropic breathing, which is a deep breath exercise, you can actually go into an induced state where you can have an experience like the abduction case. You also have, you know, these waking dreams that people can have. You know, there are some people that I think that are tend to be more, if you want to throw out a word, psychic or something like that. They have an intuitive or a cognition of capability that's beyond others. I look at kids who are like autistic, you know, who can be extreme brains and can tell you things like, you know, just like this is what the temperature was on the 21st of March in 1943. You know, that's a holistic different way that I think. There are people who have hearing better than me. There are hearing that probably have visual capabilities that are beyond me and some other. And so those are unique kind of capabilities that I can't account for that need to be studied and evaluated. We're just not set up to do that. We don't have countless doctors and psychologists and physiologists and that whole thing to be able to deal with that phenomenon, right? Again, you know, there's people who had those experiences. I encourage them to go talk to others. There are support groups and have them figure it out. I certainly don't recommend them to get regressive hypnosis because that could also be a traumatic thing that can induce them into more trauma. And whether it's legit or not, there's nothing there to substantiate that either. What do? How do you study the phenomenon?
Well, I think, you know, something that Gene mentioned about the trauma, whether the experience is, well, I have to say the word real or not, there is mental health issues that can arise from that. And it's kind of a touchy issue. But I really think that these people that feel like they've had that experience should get some help, whether it was really something or not. They probably need that support. It's kind of touchy, but I think they should see a professional.
Well, I do, too. If you saw the photos I saw of, like, that the size of that bump that guy had on the arm, you'd be saying, like, why haven't you got to a doctor? Don't make that claim that it's alien abduction. Go to the doctor and find out. You could have something seriously wrong with you. Why are you coming to a ufologist to tell me? I mean, you know, you don't do that. You go to a medical person, right? There are issues like that that have to be resolved.
You know, one of the things that bothers me about abductions, several of the things, is that if real aliens, advanced beings from another world and another star system, come to Earth with their advanced technology, and then they examine people using primitive tools, they fit them with implants that anyone can detect. And you think if somebody from the 24th century, Alpha Centauri or something, came here and wanted to put some kind of RFID chip or something in you, you would not be able to see what it is. It would be impossible. If they wanted to subject you to a physical examination, they could do it in a way you would never notice it.
I agree. In some cases, a lot of people don't notice it, you know, and they go on with their lives, and then they find out from the first time that they go and get an x-ray done that there's something weird in that part of their body that they can't figure out what it is, you know, and then they say, well, I think I need to find out what it is. Let me go to a doctor and see if I can take it out and figure out what it is. And then they pull it out and they say, well, wait a minute, this doesn't make any sense or whatever like that. So I think it's a situation where a lot of people don't know what they have in their body. I don't know that it's a tracker. I don't know what it is. I don't know what its purpose is, if it is being implanted in them. But yet there are reports of people having those in their body. And why are we having all these people that are claiming that they have these abductions? Let me also back up. There are cases out there where there's substantial evidence in the form of other kinds of things. Like, for example, you know, you might see the ground that's been baked or something like that, or in a circular pattern. Or there might be some effect on their car because they were in their car when it happened, you know, and they see a strange electromagnetic effect associated with a car. So there are some cases where there's actually something more like physical evidence or something like that that could be looked at. And certainly we ought to be looking at that to help substantiate and help us to understand whether there is a legitimate phenomena. And going back to what I said before, that there are IFOs and many of those IFOs, and then there are some that we can't explain that are completely unknown. Well, the same thing could be true here, where you could have some of these cases where legitimate there are something strange going on there, and we should study the hell out of those things.
We'll continue with some of this discussion after the Paracast, our premium show with Rich. Rich Hoffman, tell our listeners where we can find more of your stuff.
The best place to go is, you know, into our social media forums. But, you know, our website is the explorescu.org. And there's a contact page on there if you want to get a hold of me, or if you want to get a hold of anybody on the team, or if you're looking to become a member of, you know, SCU, you can contact us at the contact page on our website. We'll be happy to address those concerns or those issues or those questions or whatever about us.
You can find us on Twitter if you look for the Paracast. Look for the Paracast shop. What's the Paracast shop? The Paracast.shop is a place where we have branded merchandise with the t-shirts and the throw pillows and the caps and all that good stuff. We also offer the Paracast Plus at the Paracast.plus. You get this show free of the network ads and the After the Paracast podcast, where its discussions continue. Discussions take different directions, exclusive to Paracast Plus members. And get this, if you use the coupon code UFO20, UFO20, you get a 20% discount on 5-year or lifetime memberships. Check out for quick sign up, theparacast.plus. Rich will be back on After the Paracast. Right now, Rich Hoffman, thank you for joining us on the Paracast.
Thank you. It's good, nice to be with you.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.